called Deep and Wide. So strap in, because I'm going to get enthusiastic about this, and I hope that that will be inspiring and enthusiastic, inspire enthusiasm in you too. I don't know whether you can remember or think to defining moments in your life, things where you look back on now and you think, yeah, that changed everything for me. Maybe it was when you met that special person. Maybe if your parents, it's when you had your first child, or maybe when you became a grandparent for the first time. Maybe it was when you made that decision about a university or a college, or you went for that job interview, or you took that exam, or whatever it might be. That was that defining moment that changed things for the rest of your life. You can probably think back to lots of those over a long period of time. I was thinking just in this last couple of weeks back to 1994 and a couple of defining moments that happened for me. I'd not long since embarked on my business career in 1994, and I read a book, and lots of people in the company that I was working for, we were all reading this at the same time. It was called Built to Last, and it was one of those really significant books in the business world that everybody, it seemed, in the business world was reading at the time. And it was the result of some research by some Harvard professors on what made companies great. And it was about long-lasting, successful companies, companies like Disney and General Electric and Motorola and companies like that, and the lessons that could be taken from that for other businesses. And so we all read this in our company, and we all talked about the lessons and so on. It's a great book, by the way, and loads of lessons come out of it, not just for business, actually, but lots that have been very applicable in church life as I've been leading churches over the last few years. The two that immediately spring to mind. One of these principles was to be a clock builder, not a time teller. Be a clock builder, not a time teller. I haven't got time, ironically, to go into all of that this morning, but that was a really good principle that we learned a lot from. The other one that I do want to talk about this morning is this principle of the tyranny of the or. And the authors were saying that great companies reject the tyranny of the or. Because the tyranny of the or says we can do this or this. Here are two great things we could do as a company, a business, an organization, this or this, but we can only do one of them, so we've got to pick. And they said, great companies reject the tyranny of the or and embrace the genius of the and. And the genius of the and says, well, if they're both good, how can we do that and that? How can we do that and that? We'll come back to that thought in a minute. The other defining moment that happened for me in 1994 is I'd not been a Christian very long, although I'd grown up in church all my life. I'd really only been a Christian for 2 or 3 years, and some people in the church I was in said, Chris, you should go to this conference. Some of you have heard me tell this story before. You're rolling your eyes right now. I can see it. You should go to this conference, and it was a conference about church leadership, and it was a fantastic conference, and it completely changed my life. It was the first time I felt God beginning to stir in my heart this thing about, well, maybe he's calling me to go into some kind of ministry or church leadership kind of thing. And so I started to think about that. So this conference, for 3 days, I sat on the edge of my seat because I had grown up in church and I believed that church was for church people, that that's who church was for. And that was kind of the belief of the church that I was in. And it wasn't necessarily said explicitly, but by everything we did, you said the only people who are ever going to come here are church people because we do some weird things that only church people will understand. And at this conference, this vision was being presented of a church that wasn't just for church people. That there's a church that had arms open wide to people who were far from God to come and explore and encounter God. And it completely blew me away. And it completely changed my life and my world. You see, the problem is that even today, 20 whatever it is years after I went to that conference, still many churches in our country believe church is for church people. And if you don't believe me, I can show you a stream on a Facebook group that I belong to that's got lots of Baptists in it. And even this week, there was this whole thing going on this group. It was so depressing, I've got to be honest, about how our services should only be for people who are already Christians. And we shouldn't worry about people who might not be Christians coming to them. And I kid you not, it was so depressing. The problem is, I'm very scared to engage on Facebook because that usually, you know, creates a heap load of trouble, doesn't it? But that, and I was so, and I thought, no, we still haven't got this. We still haven't got this. You see, so often churches, even if they don't explicitly say it, even if they say they believe something different, they so often communicate that we're about church people here. And sometimes, even if it's not quite like that, sometimes churches think, well, we could do really, really well at discipling the already convinced, at taking people already Christians and helping them go deeper in their faith. Or We could perhaps open arms out wide to people who are far from God. We could do one or the other, but you can't do both. And that argument rages around the church world as well. That you can either be a church that's really great at reaching people who are far from God, or you can be a church that is really good at helping people go deeper in their faith, but you can't do both. And I want to say that's not the Jesus way. That's not the Jesus way. There is a tyranny of the or going on there, that we can be this or this. Whereas if you look at Jesus, Jesus had arms open wide to people who were far from God, and he was also able to take people who were following him deeper and deeper into relationship with him. Jesus was a great example of the genius of the and, that you can go deep and wide with Jesus, that you can reach people far from God and grow in a deep relationship with him and with Jesus. And it is our vision here at ABC to follow Jesus, to reject the tyranny of the or and embrace the Jesus-inspired genius of the and. To say we can go deep and wide. We can reach out with arms open wide to those who are far from God. And we can help those who are already Christians grow deeper in their relationship with God. You see, I think what Jesus shows us is that as we reach out with arms open wide with the love of God, it takes those of us who are Christians deeper into relationship with him. That as we go wide and serve others, we are drawn into an ever more intimate relationship with the one who was the greatest servant of them all. And that as we grow deeper in our love for God, we are compelled to go wider in demonstrating love for others as Jesus commanded us to do. That you can go deep and wide. And in fact, the two are linked. And I just want to say, if you're not a Christian, if you're exploring faith, we want to follow as a church the Jesus example and have arms open wide to you to come and explore with us. I want you to know that we are trying to build a church that extends arms open wide to you. And there are others like you who are exploring faith as part of our church community. And we love that. And that's the kind of church we're trying to be because we think that's the Jesus way. Now, 2,000 years ago, the conventional wisdom of the day then was that God was for religious people. That God was for religious people. And even those who had met Jesus actually thought Jesus was for religious people too. They thought Jesus was for the Jews, the religious movement in which he grew up. And so they believed that Jesus was for religious people. And even those very ones who were very closest to him, even his most intimate group of friends, even the ones who saw him killed and resurrected, still didn't grasp that Jesus wasn't just for religious people. Because actually, they stayed in Jerusalem, the center of the Jewish faith and the Jewish religion, and that's where they explored telling people about Jesus. They didn't actually follow his commands to go wider than that. And so God raised up another guy, a guy called Paul. And he was a really unlikely guy. And he was raised up by God out of this religious movement, but actually to take Jesus to a bunch of people called the Gentiles. And that was just the way they talked about people who weren't religious, talked about people who weren't in church, talked about people who were far from God. And Paul was really passionate about that. And Paul stirred up the church, stirred up those first Christians to re-understand that Jesus wasn't just for religious people, that Jesus was for everyone. And so Paul had this radical mission. And Paul wrote letters to a bunch of people in churches where he had gone and he had shared the love of Jesus with people and they had become Christians. And one of them's to a bunch of people in Ephesus. And the letter's called Ephesians. It's in the New Testament part of the Bible. And I want to look at it because in it, Paul is stirring up this enthusiasm and passion to go deep and wide, to do both. And we're going to really start in verse 7. Of chapter 3 of Ephesians. You can follow along if you've got a Bible, or you can follow along on the YouVersion Bible app live event that's going on right now. All the words are going to appear on the screen, so however you want to follow along, that's absolutely cool with us. But actually, I want to look at verse 1 just before we really begin in verse 7. But verse 1 says this, and I want to share this with you, by the way, because this is a real encouragement to all of us who are Christians and all of us who try to pray. Because what's happening at the beginning of chapter 3 of Ephesians is Paul is about to pray for the people in Ephesus. He sort of talked a lot about God and love and grace and mercy of God, and then he says, right, I'm going to pray for you. So he says this, for this reason I, Paul, the prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And then he's about to go, kneel down before God and pray for you. So he's starting this prayer. The thing is, he gets distracted. I won't ask for a show of hands, but if you're a prayer kind of person and you pray, do you ever get distracted? I do. I'm not asking you to put your hands up. I'll put mine up. I do. Well, we should be really encouraged by even Paul, this amazing follower of Jesus, gets distracted when he starts to pray. The only but, and the only kind of caveat, and the only kind of kudos we're going to give to Paul here is that he does get distracted, but he gets distracted by his passion and enthusiasm for the Gentiles. He gets passionate about his enthusiasm for people far from God. And in the verses that follow, between verses 2 and verse 7, Paul talks about this grace that is available to people who are far from God. He talks about the love and the mercy and the forgiveness of God, and he gets really excited about it, and he gets distracted from what he's supposed to be praying, or what he thinks he's supposed to be praying. He uses some great language, by the way. He gives real prominence to this idea of grace, this love of God, but he uses language like making known, making plain, revealing the mystery of the grace of God. So you can see in those verses his passion and enthusiasm for this gift of grace that's been given him by God, that's been revealed to him, that's been making plain to him and to others too. And then we get to verse 7. So all of that was by way of introduction to the bit we're actually going to look at. But verse 7, part of this distraction, it says this. I, this is Paul, became a servant of this gospel, which is this good news, this grace, this mercy, this forgiveness. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Paul says, I get to be a follower of Jesus because of this gift of grace and mercy and forgiveness that's been given to me. But it's been given to me, and it's been given to me with a mandate and a mission. This gift of God's grace through the working of his power, but the mandate and the mission is for me to be a servant of it. For me to be a servant on it. You see, Paul gets this strong sense of responsibility that with this amazing gift of grace comes the mandate to be a servant of it and to be sharing it with others. In verse 8 to 9, he goes on like this. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Now, there is so much we could say about these two verses and so much to unpack in them. But what I want to say for this morning, what I want to highlight for this morning is that Paul has this sense of responsibility because this amazing richness of Jesus has been given to him. And then his responsibility is to make that known to everyone, not just to religious people, not just to church people. Jesus is not just for church people. Jesus is for everyone. This administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, but has now been revealed in Jesus. This love and grace and mercy and forgiveness has been revealed in Jesus, and it's available for everyone. You see, Paul has this sense of responsibility now, because to whom much has been given, much is required. And Paul has been given the love and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. And if you're a Christian, you should resonate with this. To whom much has been given, the mercy and grace and the forgiveness of God, much is required. There is a responsibility that comes with it for everyone. Now we go on to verse 10 and 11. His intent, that's God's intent, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is the phrase I've highlighted here, through the church. See, this verse assigns a lofty and cosmic role to the church. It's the channel by which the love and wisdom of God is demonstrated. And the fact that Paul uses this language of rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms shows that there is a battle going on between the powers of darkness and the powers of light. And it is through the church that that battle will be won. It is through the church that the wisdom of God, his grace, love, mercy and forgiveness will be made known. It is through the church that the powers of darkness that steal people's freedom, that robs people of their joy, that takes away from them their purpose, will be beaten back. It is through the church that the boundaries of darkness will be pushed back. And which of us wouldn't say that there is darkness that needs to be pushed back in our world? It is through the church that the darkness will be kicked at until it bleeds daylight. the wonderfully named Klein Snodgrass in his commentary on the Ephesians, great name, it's a great commentary as well, in writing about this amazing book, in these verses, this verse says this: the church's very existence and conduct are making known how great God's plan of salvation is, both to people and to the powers of darkness. This gives an unparalleled importance to the church, an unparalleled importance to the church. So now we fast forward through another couple of verses and we get to verse 14. And this is where Paul remembers that he was praying. And he gets back to his prayer again, having been a bit distracted. And he says this: for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So Paul picks up his prayer again, having discussed grace and mercy, and that through the church the powers of darkness are going to be beaten back. For this reason I am praying for you. And I think Paul is praying for all who would come after them too, and that would carry the name of Jesus. I pray for all of you, that you may be rooted and established in love. You see, when we are rooted and established in love, it gives us power to grasp the magnificence of the love of Jesus, and to grasp how wide and long and high and deep it truly is. You see, when we go into a deeper relationship with God, when we are rooted and established in his love, it gives us power to really understand the magnitude of God's love in Jesus, and that it is for everyone. And you see the genius of the "and" here, how wide and long and high and deep. It is long and high, deep and wide. You see, when we grasp the measure of the love of God, it brings movement. Love, when it's truly grasped, brings movement. It brings change. Love changes things. We can't go deeper into a relationship with God without being motivated to share that with others, to go wide. We can't claim to be in deep relationship with God and not extend a hand wide to offer to those who are far from him. And then we get to the end of Paul's prayer in verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May there be glory in the church, through the church again, and may God do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Well, look, here's what I can imagine. Are you ready? Here's what I can imagine. I imagine a church here at ABC that is passionate about prayer and has a heart for worship, not only on Sundays, but throughout the week. I imagine a church that looks like Jesus, treating people with kindness, love, compassion, and unparalleled generosity. I imagine a church that is reaching out wide with the love of grace of Jesus, where every person who calls ABC their church home is challenged, inspired, and equipped to share the love of God wherever they are. I imagine a church that uses lively, relevant, engaging, and helpful services and other activities to attract people and to equip us for inviting. I imagine a church that uses events like Alpha to introduce people to Jesus. I imagine a church that has multiple services every week in this building because we are growing beyond what we can contain in two morning services. I imagine those services sharing core elements but having different styles to engage with people who are inspired by different things. I imagine more than that, though. I imagine a multi-site church that holds services and events not just in this building but in other locations in towns and villages in this area where they need to know Jesus. I imagine a multi-generational church that values all generations and that is continually investing in the faith of the next generations and which is passionate about children and young people. I imagine a church that is reaching wide to hundreds of people who don't know Jesus. I imagine a church that is renewing our local community and our world. I imagine a church that is serving our local communities through working with other partner organizations to help those in need. I imagine a church that is blessing its local community and which would be sorely missed if it was no longer around. I imagine a church that is part of a network of churches that is inspiring others to share and dream similar dreams, where we have been being able to share what we have been doing and learning to help and inspire others. A network with a vision to see a church that people who don't normally go to church would love to attend in every community in the UK and Ireland. I imagine a church that's partnering with organizations and people working overseas in some of the poorest and neediest parts of the world. I imagine a church that is overflowing with generosity locally and globally, and that is sending teams of people out all over the world to build relationships with local partners and engage with life-transforming projects. I imagine a church that is resourcing one another to grow in our relationship with God, where we are challenged to take bold next steps in our journey of faith, and where we are all inspired to dream dreams of what God can and do in and through us. I imagine a church full of small groups that have the purpose of building community beyond what we can experience when we're gathering in large groups like this. I imagine people in those groups loving, caring, and supporting one another, and helping one another to grow in their depth of relationship with Jesus. I imagine a church that runs practical courses and workshops that equip people to grow deeper in their faith, and I imagine a creative range of next steps that help people in their faith journey. I imagine a church where every day we see new people arriving and encountering the life-transforming love of Jesus. I imagine a church drawing people deep into relationship with God. That's what I can imagine. And I see it happening in our church already. Now, God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. That's what I can imagine. Think what God can imagine for us here at ABC. You see, God can imagine you in a relationship with Him. God wants you in a relationship with Him. God loves, if you're a follower of Jesus, that you are adopted into His family as a son and daughter of Him. But with that grace comes responsibility. Grace comes as a free gift, but it enlists and empowers us, and it brings responsibility. And those of us who are recipients of grace become stewards of it. Because like all gifts from God, it's not given for selfish reasons. It is directed out. Grace takes us deep, but then compels us to go wide. Snodgrass again. In our society, the church is increasingly viewed as irrelevant, trivial, and ineffective. It is populated by divided people who do not deal with the real problems of life. Many Christians either do not know the ideal or have given up attaining it. Others have been driven from the church by boredom or the lack of grace. For most of us, the church is a place that puts on services. Somehow we must move beyond this and recover a sense of the importance of the church as the place where the purposes of God are embodied. Through the church. I refuse to allow that to become a reality in my life. If ever I get to the point in my life where I give up on the ideal of what God calls this thing called the church to be, heaven help me. And heaven help us if we give up on the ideal. But the truth is, many have. I refuse to lead a church that gives up on that dream. I refuse to be a part of a church that accepts a lack of grace or a boredom factor in what we do. I refuse to be part of a church that thinks to itself, we only do services. I don't want to be a part of that. See, the church is so important. It is the primary vehicle that God uses to bring His love to the world. It is the primary tool that God uses to push back and kick at the powers of darkness. It is the primary way God brings His kingdom to earth. When we pray, if you pray the Lord's Prayer, you say, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what you're saying when you pray that is, use me. Because the church is the primary way God's kingdom comes on earth. And the calling to the church is to go deep and wide. And if you're not a Christian, if you're exploring faith, I just want to say again, God has arms open wide for you. And we are trying to follow His example and live that out. And we use that language I used earlier. We're trying to build a church that people who don't normally go to church love to be a part of. Because we're trying to extend God's love with arms open wide. And if you're a Christian, I want you to know that the best way to grow in your relationship with God, the best way to go deeper in your relationship with God, The best way to see the love and power of God moving in your life is to throw yourself into the mission of his church and go wide. Because it is as we serve and as we love and as we go wide that we are truly drawn deeper into our relationship with him. And I just want to talk for a few minutes about how we might do that. How do we partner with God on this mission? How do we lead with God on this mission? How do we engage? How do we connect with God on this mission? There are loads of ways, and I haven't got time to talk about them all, but I'm going to talk about three in particular, and I have three cards here which will be available to you from the stewards at the end of our service this morning. Here's three ways. Number one, be a part of what's going on here and play your part in what's going on here by being a part of a team. There are so many different things that go on around here, so many different ways to connect and engage with it. And if you are new to the church, by the way, one of the best ways to connect with God and connect with the church is to be part of a team. You'll meet loads of other great people. You'll get a sense of the mission and the purpose that we're on. And there's a card that looks like this that says teams on it that you can pick up at the back, and we'll tell you about some of our teams. Just on a Sunday, I mean, we have way more teams than we have on a Sunday, but just on a Sunday, we have tech teams and children's and youth teams and hub teams and next step teams and worship teams. We have all these teams going on, and stewards and all that, and they are fantastic, and you can be a part of that. And by the way, I'm going to highlight one. If you're interested in our tech team, our tech guys do an amazing job, and all of this stuff just doesn't happen by accident. We have a tech team training day on the 7th of March, Saturday the 7th of March, and it's going to happen in the morning, and we're going to talk about how we do the visual stuff and the lighting in the morning. Then we're all going to have lunch together. We're going to give you lunch, and then in the afternoon we're going to do the sound, how we do the sound around here. And we would love for you to come if you're thinking that you might like to be involved in that, or if you just want to know how it works, then we'd love for you to come and just see and receive some training. And we're going to have so much fun on that day. We're going to mix the band so they sound weird. And we're going to play around with these lights. And these lights can do way more, by the way, than you see them do on a Sunday. They can go nuts. So we're going to do all of that. So we're going to have so much fun. So come and be a part of that. Second way is that you can be a part of giving financially to the church. As Rob said, you know, nobody gives us a whole load of money to do all of this stuff. It's because of the partnering generosity of people who are part of this church, giving regularly to what goes on here, that we are able to do the stuff that we do, and we are able to do the stuff that you don't even see that happens during the week and on weeknights with the young people and all that kind of stuff. We would love for you to be a part of that. We'd love for you, if you're already a regular giver here, maybe it's the beginning of the year, you've had a pay rise at work, maybe you'd think about giving a little more. If you're not a regular giver with us here, maybe you consider starting to do that. It really helps us to have regular giving through standing orders that people give to us each month, because then we know and we can budget and we can do all that kind of stuff and we can make sure we're careful about what we're spending. There's a card about giving and how you do that. And it's so simple. You can just set up a standing order from your bank to our bank and then it all happens. If you're a taxpayer, we'd love for you to fill in a gift aid form so we can claim back 23%, 24% of what you give, we can claim back from the government. And that's a wonderful thing. So I know we have offering bags and there are other ways to give and they're all put on here. But in particular, that bank-to-bank thing really, really helps us. Maybe you'd be a part of that. I have a friend who says, how much ministry and mission can you do in a church for a pound? And the answer is about a pound's worth. How much could you do for £2? Well, twice as much. And so I just leave that thought with you. And then final way, the course nights that Rob mentioned. Come and be a part of our course night. Come and do All In or Shaping ABC. Come and join with others who are going to be doing those courses. In March, we're kicking those off. Two nights, so it's 2 weeks. Each course lasts 2 weeks. And we're going to run them on the same night, so you can pick which one you do. We're going to give you tea and coffee, all that kind of stuff. And we'd love for you to be a part of working out how you can partner with us. That's our All In course. And how you can lead. And we are all leaders of the culture here. That's our Shaping ABC course. So come and be a part of that with us too. So pick up those cards from the folks. That will give you more information than I can share with you in these couple of minutes now. Pick up those cards as you leave this morning, which will give you more information about who we are as a church, where we think God leading us, and most importantly, how you can play your part, because we each have a part to play. You know, I believe with all of my heart in the importance and the beauty of the local church. When you come to me and you share stories with me, as many of you do, of how God is transforming and changing your life through the mission and ministry of this church, it fills my heart to bursting. Because together, when lives are being transformed and changed, we are together kicking at the darkness until it bleeds daylight. And our world needs light. And I unapologetically challenge myself first and foremost to step up and step out and add my little bit to this amazing thing called the church. And I unapologetically challenge you to do the same. And as we do so, I believe as we add our bit to our bit, to your bit, to my bit, we add these bits together, we do the adding, God does the multiplying. And God will take each of our little bits that we add and that we bring and will multiply it, and that he will do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And I can imagine some really cool stuff. So I'm excited about what God will do. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for each and every person who is a part of this amazing family and community here at ABC. I thank you for those who contribute so amazingly generously in so many different ways, in giving, in serving, in being a part of it, in encouraging, in sharing stories, in reaching out, in inviting, and all of those things. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for bringing us to this moment, this point. I thank you for what we're seeing you do, the growth and the transformation we're seeing day by day through the ministry of this church. I thank you for people who are finding faith and people who are going deeper in their relationship with you. Lord God, though, I want to pray for more. I want to pray that you would do more than we can ask or imagine. I thank you that you have this vision and dream in mind. And I just want to pray that we would line up with you, not the other way around. That what we've talked about this morning would be your heart, not our heart, your heart. Lead us and guide us, we pray, and challenge each and every one of us to live with the purpose that you are calling us to, with the passion that you're calling us to, with the thankfulness of grace and of the opportunity to serve in a local church like this. Help us, Lord God, to live like that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just going to continue to respond as Andy just sings a song called Live Like That. Just continue to allow God to challenge and inspire you and encourage you with what he's calling you to. Thanks.
Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs, was I loved when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of those? Was my worship more than just a song? I want to live like that and give it all I have, so that everything I say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where I'll stay. Recklessly abandoned, never holding back. I want to live like that. I want to live like that. Am I proof that you are who you say you are? Change up.